Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
12, 11.
What are we running here? A cadet ship number one? Are we ready or not?
10, 9. Ignition sequence start.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Ready to move up.
6, 5.
All decks are ready, sir.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Engage.
All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing the third part of what we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks, and that's the English Defence League radio show, Satana's Ex Machina, part 3. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. And my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight, our series, Exposing the Lies Behind the Wuhan Virus Great Reset, continues as we discuss more items of interest, including an interview through another source with author, journalist and world patriot, Mr. Tommy Robinson. The cowards in power are losing the facts debate, and they are cracking down. The global truth tellers are cracking on by lighting up the darkness behind the tyrant's evil agenda. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke back in the 1770s. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, let me bring on my friend, my colleague from across the great pond there, based in Vermont, is my dear friend, Mr. Dave Agador Milner. And, of course, all my friends across the United States and across the wider world. Dave, over to you, brother, and I hope you're well this fine evening.
Yeah, very well, Jeff. And let's not forget, of course, our listeners off of Earth, you know, space stations and other places like that. And, you know, I'm really big personally in the Crab Nebula. But just want to welcome. Gotta be careful around there, though. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You've got to be careful around the Crab Nebula, though. But I want to welcome everybody to the hot, steamy, long month that is August. Yeah, it's August the 1st. And we still are going to have some hot programs for you. We have three more shows to do, guys. We're going to do one today and one, if I'm not forgetting the calendar, on the 7th and one on the 15th. And then we go on vacay. But we're going to highlight for you guys more and more and more of this Wuhan virus tyranny that they're trying to use to keep hold and lock power into the hands of the very few well-protected, well-moneyed, rich globalists who don't give a rat's furry behind about you. And I'm talking, by the way, Jeff, to the people that support them, the rank-and-file people who actually think they're doing good by supporting these people. Because, to you guys who are supporting them, they're coming after you after they come after us. But, Jeff, before we get into our first and very anticipated audio for this show, do you have anybody in our chat?
Let's have a look. It's all quiet at the moment, Dave. Actually, it's quiet at the moment. I think we're still waiting for the rush. You know, it's like normal guys turn up and maybe they're just having a bit of lunch it'd be dinner time, won't it? Your time or lunch time, wouldn't it, Dave? Something like that. Anyway, with that, let me pass it back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. Now, guys, if you want to get into the chat, we podcast here live on Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States. Just go to blogtalkradio.com, look at and type in the white top center search box, English Defense League Radio, and follow the links. And if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you can get in the chat. And Jeff will give you a shout-out and may have a little bit of a dialogue on the show if you happen to have a good comment or something like that there. So let's get into our first audio. This one has been very anticipated because really nobody's heard a lot from this guy except on his Parler account and Telegram for over a year. But we have something for you right now. This was done here on the 23rd of July. And it's going to be 14 and a half minutes long. Now, I will tell you, before we begin this, I am not a huge fan of the presenter on this interview, but I am a huge fan of Tommy Robinson. So we're going to run this, and then we're going to comment after it. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Let's stay there. That's just one part of the film that the court is trying to not release. We've got it. You say the word, we're going to release it, but you're telling me not to. Tommy, we covered that. That was a year ago. You have the video. You've made the film. What can you say? What is the gag order? I can pull the trigger right now and release the film. You told me yesterday you don't do it. What's going on?
I'll just say, Alex, if you give me 4 weeks, I'm going to look at the injunction. I've been given an injunction that prohibits me. So basically, I produced a court with so much evidence. Undercover recordings of the head teacher, undercover recordings of the head of the isolation unit, dinner ladies, all staff members at the school, all of them making lots of accusations against the Syrian refugee, okay, all of them. Yeah? Then I produced a court with five witnesses, children, who come to court I produced a court with evidence from emails, correspondence from council members. I produced all of this evidence, and what basically the injunction does is prevent the public seeing the evidence.
So, because let me just say, I've seen the film since yesterday. I knew it was sitting in our computer. I'm so busy. I was just waiting until he released it. So I see stuff once it's released. I trust people that, you know, do work for us. I'm so busy. I went last night and watched it. Blew me away. You talk about proving what you said. This is going to so discredit that court and the whole system. I mean, they're saying like a little kid got waterboarded, and that you got all the video and the witnesses of him beating the living hell out of people.
Mate, I said, so I have a camera watching me. Obviously, I've sent you the video. I sent it straight away. So at 10 o'clock, I received my verdict at 10 a.m. in the morning. When I received it, I went, right, we've done it, yeah? And I said, you may be thinking, I've lost. I should be sad. I said, but no, yeah? We have the evidence that the council paid teachers not to tell the truth. That's what we have. We have it on recordings from multiple teachers, okay? Specifically, they mention hush money to prevent them telling the truth about Jamal. Yeah? That's what they say.
All because of political correctness, they got to cover up for the precious Muslims.
Yeah, they closed the school down. They shut their elder teachers lost their jobs. But we have that. We then have the chair of governors, and we have a teacher, the head teacher, on camera telling us that they sat down with the media and they told the media the truth, but they would not report it. That's what we have. So we prove in the film. Originally, if I'd have won the court case, we wouldn't prove what we were about to prove. If I won the court case, we prove corruption of the media, corruption of the council. Now, when I lost the case, I said, and now, and the start of the documentary, as you've seen, is me saying, what you're about to watch, there's no grey area here. You're going to see what the judge saw, yeah? And you will make your mind up on who has told the truth. You will see evidence, you will see proof, you will see evidence, you will see witnesses, you will see everything. And then now, because he's ruled against me, now I will prove to you, the British public, the only court that I'm really bothered about is the court of public opinion. And the court of public opinion will watch this film and categorically know that our highest court in the land, our judicial system, is corrupt as well. If it wasn't proven with my last previous case. So I was happy. When I got the result, I look at the camera. You've seen it. The start of my documentary is, here we go. Press play. You're going to witness it all. Yeah.
Now, Tommy, I mean, let me tell you why I admire you. You're the first major guy that exposed the Muslim grooming gangs. They call Asian grooming gangs. They literally let Muslims rape, torture, kill women, little girls, because they're Muslim. I mean, it's this political correctness. But we know that there are procurers who are British and Anglo that are also working with them. They're just out getting the girls for them. So they let the Muslims become the pimps for the ruling class, and you expose that, and the system has really come after you. You're a hero, brother, and, you know, I'm not a fair-weather friend. I'm not a sunshine patriot. I'm a winter soldier, and we're with you, brother. So you say the word, we're going to release that documentary, and if you, I'm not saying you're going to puss out, because I know you told me, I got another version. I got to see if the courts can let me do it. If you puss out, I'm going to release the other version.
There's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing I can do about that. As I've said, to the court that I'll do my best.
Oh, wait, I apologize. You've been through more than I have. I don't mean literally puss out, but you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean. I'm in a situation where I'm bound again. Do you know the craziest thing, so your viewers understand? So you understand what's coming. You were just talking about grooming gangs. The local council, the head of the council who's paying people not to tell the truth, his name is Shabir Pandor, okay? Shabir Pandor, that's his name. Did you see the protests in Batley for your viewers? There was protests in England outside of school because a teacher showed a cartoon of Muhammad. And that teacher is now in hiding for his life because mobs of Muslims come outside the school. Those mobs of Muslims were left by Mufti Pandor. That Mufti Pandor, the imam, is the brother of Shabir Pandor, who's in charge of the entire council, okay? So that imam is the brother of Shabir Pandor. Now, the imam travelled from a place called Batley to protest outside the school of Jamal, and he brought a mob of merry Muslim thugs with him to protest against the kid's school. Now, this is where it gets really dirty, because where the imam says, and you've seen the footage, I stand outside the imam's house, and I say, in the last 12 months, within a two-mile radius of where I am, 99 Pakistani Muslim men have been arrested for the rape of young girls. One of those men's name Pandor. So we have Pandor. This is in the same area. We have Pandor the rapist, alleged rapist. We have Pandor the mufti, the imam. And we have Pandor the counsellor in charge of the council. This is the unholy alliance. And I bring it all together in this film to show people. And do you know the craziest thing? We do a Google search. We check, okay? So 99 arrests in his town. What has the mufti had to say about that? Nothing. Not a single word. But he's come out on protest against right-wing organisations who have been protesting over it. So then we check Councillor Pandor. What was Councillor Pandor in charge of the entire council? Bearing in mind all the young victims and white English children who were raped by them, yeah? They were all known to his council. They knew who they were. They were vulnerable and they were taken by the gangs and raped. What has he had to say about grooming gangs? He said, oh, that's in the past. That's his only comment. His only comment on it is that's in the past. So then we look at the other Muslim councillor who's been very prominent about the Bailey Jamal story. And he doesn't say anything either. So that's three lead Muslims who all of them said that this water over the child's head, they went wild. They didn't shut up about it. They protested outside schools about it. This was the biggest situation. Do you know why this was the biggest situation? Because at the
raping 11-year-old girls and then killing them and feeding them to people out of a kebab shop, that actually happened. That's okay. Raping and killing English girls, cutting them up, selling their meat, that's liberal and good. But a guy that's beating people up, somebody finally grabs him, dumps some water in his face in a playground, and they just crap themselves and run around bitching and complaining all day. These are the same people, type of folks that strap suicide bombs on five-year-olds.
Alex, at that moment when that bottle of water was poured all over him, in Kirkley's council, that town, run by Shabir Pandor, was the biggest grooming scandal in our country's history. The biggest one in our history. Yeah? At that moment, they diverted total attention from
it. Stay there. I want to close up on this with you, Tommy. Stay there. But listen, it doesn't matter if the whole British government's against you. It doesn't matter if the whole system is God's watching, and you helped expose that and stop massive raping. So it doesn't matter what they say, you're a hero, they're going to burn in hell. Stay with us. Tommy, you've been basically off the radar for a year. We've talked, I guess, a few times last year. I'm glad that you're back. I'd love to do a whole commercial-free, hour-long interview and talk about all the stuff you've been through and all the videos of Antifa attacking you and you fighting back and all the amazing things you've done. And by the way, if you choose not to put the film out, it's not pussing out. You know, you've been to jail. They've set you up. They've done all this to you. It's just the vindication in that film. And then to know that they ruled against you and claim you owe them £800,000 or something, I guess that's like $1.5 million, is just ridiculous. It's just amazing.
Alex, the film proves everything. So, look, Panorama, I made Panorama, which proved the BBC were making up stuff about me. It proved they were working with far-left extremist organisations. It proved they were using intimidating tactics as well as sexual abuse against people in order to get information off them. It proved it all, okay? And it took down and ended John Sweeney's career, okay? That was Panorama. That was the BBC. This blows all of that. Because what this proves is not just, it proves the alliance and all of them coordinating and working together from the media to the council, the government, the politicians, all of them coupled with the court. Because there is a zero chance, which is why, unfortunately, the judge has had to make this injunction, because otherwise he will look ridiculous. Because if the public are allowed to, and you know what winds me, Alex, is everyone says I've been in court a lot of times. I have, yeah? I think I've been in court more times than
Yeah, you've been fighting. That's how they come after you.
Yeah, but the thing is, I've never had a jury. I've never been tried by the public, by my peers. I've never been tried. I've never had the opportunity for 12 members of the British public to decide my fate. This trial was by one single judge. Okay, again, one single judge has decided, and what this judge, just to comment again, what the judge has decided is that the undercover recordings of the head teacher, isolation teacher, the dinner lady, the school staff, the five witnesses who travelled to court. One of these witnesses, so people understand, one of these witnesses is a young girl. She got 13 top A GCSE grades. She got the top you can get. In her school records, which I read out.
She's a valedictorian.
Yeah, in her school records, which I read out, her teacher comments that she is the only pupil in her year not to have a negative grade, negative opinion of anything, nothing negative, not one disciplinary, nothing, not been late, not talked in lesson, nothing, okay, not one. She's now studying law. She has an unblemished school record. Jamal had nearly 100 disciplinary actions in 12 months, fighting truancy, multiple for lying. The judge has decided that this girl has randomly made it up, okay? But not just this girl, another witness, child.
And she's the one that, like, he hit in that back of the head with a cricket bat, right?
I'm not allowed to talk about any of those allegations, yeah, but I'm not allowed to talk about specifically any of the allegations because I'll end up in jail.
Because Muslims are perfect, they're little angel cakes. All right, there's one place people can find you. We're going to have you back on soon. As soon as you want to come on, Tommy, you can always open the door. How do people find you? There's one place they can find you that's legitimate, Tommy Robinson, all the other stuff's fake.
At the minute, Tommy Robinson News on Telegram. I've been hoping and waiting for... this documentary, this film, yeah, was about to be a relaunch because after this film, Alex, I've got footage, which I've worked on for the last 12 to 18 months. I spent time in a city getting to know grooming victims, getting to know their families.
Yeah, well, that's what I financed, and I'm not mad, but that's what I paid for. And I'm not mad. I want to see that film. So you got a home on Telegram, and you've got a home at Band.Video.
And soon I've been in talks with a new company, so I will be employed by a new media company soon. It's just that now this setback, I've got to look at this injunction. I've got to look at the laws and the gagging order.
I want to expose child kidnapping rings that you confirmed. This is real. You hear all this QAnon stuff and everything, but this is real. You did it. I know it's still going on. I back you, and I will put it out, and I will not back down.
Alex, wait until you see what I have. And I've already got it. Yeah? I've already got it. I have got the highest level of corruption. I've got the police officers named. I've got the accusations.
Tommy, you always deliver. I have no doubt. So when do I get my grooming film that I financed 3 years ago? I'm not mad. You've been a political prisoner attack, you know, everything. I get it. When do we get that? Because I want to sink these bastards. I want to get them.
So all we were waiting on was the stings. The final stings are where I'm going to let you, the world, know who these men are, where their businesses are. You're going to know every single thing about them, and they're going to be very public. And that is what I was waiting on. And COVID messed that up because a lot of the restrictions we had in the UK has prevented our ability to do that. And at the same time as that, then this trial landed. And this trial landed.
Exactly.
And
that's where you've been the last years under lockdown. That's my closing question. And I got to go. There's other guests on. What is this where they're taking over your phones and saying, stay there? And millions of Brits are getting these messages. It looks like lockdown 2.0 is already there.
Well, so many people who are employed are not angry about it because they're getting paid to just be at home. Yeah. It's like they're getting paid. So many people, who this is affecting is the small business owner. Yeah. What this will affect will be the populism. Okay. That's what it will affect. It will affect the people of populism. The small business owner, the hardworking man, the men that have the small business that are succeeding is about destroying all of them. Destroying all of them, keeping everyone at one stage, and the massive corporations, which they are, they're allowed to stay open. Amazon's allowed to stay open the whole time. The biggest corporations have always been open. They've been doubling their profits, doubling everything, while the small average working man with a business or working woman with her own business has been crippled. But the average worker, they're happy. They're happy.
Tommy, I love you. I love you. Come back again with us next week. I'll talk to you after the show today. God bless you. There he goes. He just completely nailed it. Big tech created this to double and triple their profit. It bankrupts all the small shops. The average person stays home and gets the welfare check, but there'll be no job or business after that. And now the globalists can dictate total control over you and your family.
And that's it. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, go, my brother.
Well, as you heard, Dave, Tommy's got it all. And you know that we knew that there was going to be a gagging thing straight away. We knew Tommy weren't going to win that case. That they were seen for that because the highest, as Tommy said, the highest ones in the land, the courts, they're all corrupt. All corrupt. So I think he knew. That's why he wasn't too unhappy because basically it was public opinion. It doesn't matter what the courts say. Public opinion is very important, especially when you're a journalist and the same as Tommy, and you know he's got high status. So of course, what he's got is dynamite. And as he said to Alex, give me 4 weeks. He's got other things. He's inner talks with another media company, but I think he just wanted to see the finer edges of this this gagging order and how it affects him going forward. Because if he does anything, goes against that, as you know, Dave, he'll be whisked off the street, he'll be stuck in a shithole of a prison, and you know what that's like. They'll try to starve him and probably try to kill him while he's in there. So we know how that will be. So at the same time, he is very brave, very courageous young man, and he's fighting the good fight. And not too many people would do the same as him, but he believes in walking forward into the flames, and, you know, that's just what he does. But Dave, back to you. What an interesting conversation that was, with different things that come out of that. So, yeah, cheers for that, Dave. Oh, Dave, just to let you know, Bigfoot's joined us, and he said, hi, Jeff, hi, get Agador, and also we've got our other friend there, that's the tune, he's saying hi as well, just to let you know, brother.
All right, well, Bigfoot's Place at blogspot.com is where you can read Bigfoot's blog, and welcome to Biggie, and welcome to you as well, Satuni. Now, obviously, I've got good things and bad things to say about this interview. All the good is on Tommy Robinson, of course. Now, this is a man who has suffered for years, and he's a truth teller, and he's always been out there ready to expose the truth, the underpinning of Islam for all of this evil that goes on. I was struck, particularly in this interview, Jeff, by the fact that once again, and this has been proven before, once again, politicians, this time an elected Muslim politician, basically the head of a city council there, is in complete collusion with the Mohammedan child rape gangs and things of that nature. But again, this is not, very sadly, this is not new. This is something, Jeff, that you have been talking about on your show almost since day one. So this isn't new, but it needs to keep being pointed out, because the corruption that causes the harm like this to young girls, young boys, and all of the other harm that comes to society, people robbing and people beating people up and things of that nature, because you have a minority out there who, because of political correctness, has attained a status of privilege over the very people in whose country they've settled in. This, you've talked about this for a long time, and I give a lot of props to Tommy Robinson for continuing to expose that. Despite the fact that he's been imprisoned I don't know how many times now, he was, yes, indeed, tortured in prison, attacked in prison, starved in prison. Now, Jeff, I'm going to give you a chance here in a second, but what struck me the last time Tommy Robinson was in prison, he came out of prison, and I know I've commented on this before, but and this isn't hyperbole, people, because I remember this stuff. When Tommy Robinson left that prison, he looked very similar. I'm talking about his body type and everything, looked very similar to the Vietnam War prisoners who were returned to the United States of America. That was the situation of starvation that he was in. And, of course, we've done previous shows that talk about the other things that were done to him in HMP Belmarsh, which I think is where he wound up. Jeff, I'm going to give you a chance here because I have some more stuff to say. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, well, if what you just said then, just look at it, what you said. It's like a prisoner of war. Basically, when Tommy's in captivity, that's exactly what it is. Name, rank, serial number, and we got you, and we'll do with you what we want. We will do what our masters tell us to do. And we know who their masters are, who runs the whole show. We know it. We've talked. I talked about it with you for many years, Dave. And we know that things, we keep highlighting, we continue to highlight because they're the main problem. Not so much them, but the ones that pull the strings, the ones at the top, the ones who are above even those Muslim ones. You know, the 1%ers, the elite. They do not like to be exposed. And we expose them week in, week out. And we will not we will continue to expose these demons, because that's what they are, demons to the world. And that's what we do. That's my crusade against these evil people. They're destroying our countries and nations, not just here, but across in the United States. They're doing exactly... You got people in your prison over there, Dave, that they're not even allowing, the Democrats are not allowing the Republicans to go and check on the prisoners that's in captivity. Now, let's say something. Why? Why don't they want them to see these prisons? What are they hiding? I mean, if these prisoners are being well-treated, then why don't you let the congressmen see them? So they can find out exactly how they're being treated. You've always got something to hide when you stop, especially a congressman, come on, a senator, to go and see the prisoners. Something wrong. So, Dave, we've just got it this side of the pond, mate. You've got it your side of the pond as well. And there's a lot of people suffering because of it as well. And back to you, brother.
Well, I can't disagree with you, Jeff. And yeah. At least, and this will give you guys some perspective, at least when Tommy Robinson was in HMP Belmarsh, they allowed him to have visitors. They allowed him to talk to his lawyer once in a while anyway. They allowed a creep from, I think it was the BBC, to come in and interview him. He was actually not being held incommunicado. So this will show you the level of evil that has leaked over here to the United States. And my American brothers and sisters, this is why I originally joined up with Jeff's show, because I knew it would come over here. And it's here. It's in your face right now. But, Jeff, is there anything out of chat before I continue with my commentary on this interview?
No, actually, that Bigfoot and Saturnic are just – quietly listening to this show. I hope you guys are enjoying what Dave's playing at this moment. It's very, very important that you guys hear exactly what's going on this side of the pond, brothers. So there you go, Dave. Over to you, brother.
All right. Now, Jeff, I'd appreciate it if you, I know you'll want to defend him after I'm done, but, I'd appreciate it if you just let me get through this. All right. Now, a lot of people are going to hear this interview, and they're going to say it's from Alex Jones, and they don't like Alex Jones. And I, trust me, guys, I understand why you don't. This is a guy who said that in court when he was sued over the Sandy Hook thing, which he shouldn't have been sued over, but he said in court that he doesn't believe the stuff that he's saying, that he's just an entertainer, and that's all. Now, I have a problem, frankly, with commentators who do not believe in what they're commenting on. As far as I'm concerned, that makes them phonies. I also have a small problem with him saying that Tommy Robinson had better not wuss out. I can guarantee you Tommy Robinson is 1,000 times the manly man that Alex Jones is. All right, 1,000 times. He has suffered very greatly for just bringing the truth out. And yeah, Alex Jones got sued. Big whoop. He's still on the air, as if you didn't notice it. But I'm trying, and I'll say this one thing else before I move on to Alex Jones. And anybody who's a fan of his and wants to pass this on can. If you do something if you prematurely release the film or if you do anything to get Tommy Robinson put back into prison, you're going to wind up with a lot fewer fans and a lot more people who have a little bit more than just the kind of criticism that I've put out, said about you, okay? You're not going to be a happy man if you do something to get Tommy Robinson put into prison. Now, on the plus side, Jeff, I know you're going to want to defend him. On the plus side, Alex Jones has helped to finance Tommy Robinson, and he needs financing because he's been made a non-person in the UK. You know this. I know this. Everybody knows this. So I give Alex Jones that bit of respect that he's done that, but I'm just saying that to everybody, look at the interview. We have a link, by the way, to the whole interview. Some of it was, frankly, Jeff and listeners, some of the interview was stuff that we'd already covered on this show, and it's considerably longer, but we wanted to bring you the new stuff, all right? If you go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com, there's a direct link to Alex Jones's Rumble page and that particular interview. And I also put that up on my social media. I'm Dave Milner, M-I-L-N-E-R, or Agador, A-G-G-E-D-O-R. And on Twitter, I'm Agador with an underscore after it. That's my personal account, which will probably be shut down pretty soon. And I just want to tell you guys, you can find this stuff at Cloud Hub, MAGABook, MeWe, Minds, Mumblet. I did manage to get it put up on Parler, Spreely, USA Life, and I'm, of course, always Agador on Gab. So the entire interview is there for you guys. If you want to see it, you want to hear it. You know, as I say, I'm not necessarily here for Alex Jones, but I'm always here for Tommy Robinson, and that is how, in my opinion, people should look at this. Jeff, back to you.
Yeah, and please share. Share it, guys, because as you know, Tommy, you know, the only, as I say, the only voice we haven't heard from him for over a year. We know he's been busy. As I say, we know Alex funds him, and he has been funding him for ages. So that's a lot of things as well. Alex, you know, does sales on his show, goes towards funding people like Tommy. So, but any. Just say what you're saying, Dave, about Alex releasing any of the footage of what went on. And he knows that no matter what the left or anybody else does to try, because he keeps saying they're trying to take me down, that would be his nail in his coffin. If he released that would be the end of Alex Jones. You wouldn't hear of Alex Jones no more. That's all I say. And I think he's smart enough to know that that is the case. Because if Tommy ends up getting put in prison because of something that he's done that really infuriates the, you know, the people that love Tommy Robinson, and there's millions of people, Alex is you know, people that respect Alex for what he does, that will dry up, and that'll be the end of Alex and the InfoWars thing. That I would say that without a shadow of doubt. So the ball's in his court. He's got to hold that. And Tommy said to him, what did he say? Hold it for 4 weeks. I want to see and get to the bottom, because Tommy, he's got his solicitors and that on it. He's want to check everything out. You would, wouldn't you? Having that thrown over you, because he knew exactly he was going to get an injunction. He wasn't sure exactly what it was going to be. But anyway, as I say, Alex still funds him, and as I say, it's a bit of a shout to you. If you listen to me, Alex, I will say, keep your powder dry and you wait till Tommy to give you an heads up what to do next. Don't run it yourself, because that's it. You'll fail and you'll fall on your sword. Back to you, Dave.
Nice one, Jeff. Nice one. Yeah, and I would also say if anybody wants to send this to Alex Jones, it'll be worth the wait. Panel Drama was worth the wait. I don't care that I did get knocked off of Facebook because of panel drama. It was worth the wait. And I want to give you guys the name of this that's on Alex Jones's Rumble page. That's where the link that we have in our show page is, too. The name is Filmmaker Who Exposed Muslim Grooming Gangs in the UK Breaks His Silence. That's the name of the thing that you guys want to look for on Alex Jones's Rumble page. And, of course, Tommy Robinson's picture is in there, too. So if you're a Tommy Robinson fan, like so many people are worldwide, you definitely want that to be, there's a clue for you. You'll know Tommy Robinson's picture. But, Jeff, do we have anything out of chat before we move on to the next thingy?
I'll just check in now. No, it's okay at the moment, Dave. Everybody's sitting there quietly and listening to what we've got to say. I'm sure that's what you said, Dave. It's called Silence, isn't it? The documentary, ladies and gentlemen, when it's able to be put out there, when the barrier's brought down, because they can't hold on to, they can't, take an injunction and gag you forever. There'll be a time when it comes down. And anyway, they're exposed, the government, all the people that Tommy talks about to Alex Jones is what they talked about. This is damning on them all. As high up as you can possibly go, police names, everything, you've got it there. Dodgy politicians. We've done that before and we've brought politicians down before. Tommy wasn't part of the Eagle, but he joined forces for us to bring down upcoming Muslim, one of David Cameron's friends. We brought him down, and it was that you heard it hit the ground, and it was magic. We do this all the time. We'll expose them. We'll drop them. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, it's true, Jeff. I have a thing to go. We're switching back, and I thought that this interview worked out well because in the end, Alex Jones was talking to Tommy Robinson about the Wuhan tyranny in the UK. But I want to talk about a particular piece of propaganda that's going on in many countries now, not just the United States. The propaganda is that. Now, yes, everybody has to go back to wearing the communist Chinese face diapers or the masks because the people who have not taken the particle infusions that are being disguised as vaccines are putting everybody at risk. So it doesn't matter if you got the infusion or not. You have to wear a mask because of this of these evil people, all of whom support President Trump. They're these evil Trumpers. They're evil or stupid or both. Now, on my social media, I have put out a link to something that Steve Dace did. Now, Steve Dace is a podcaster here in the United States that is part of Glenn Beck's network, and his show has exploded because he's the data guy. He's been crunching the numbers ever since this whole Wuhan thing began. And he has numbers and stats that prove that it is not just conservatives or Trump supporters or whatever who are hesitant to take these nanoparticle infusions. The numbers and everything that he has prove it. And they are also on all of my social media. I made sure to post those. Look for the following: the real, unvarnished data on vaccination rates, and that'll say Steve Dace Show after it. It's off of his Rumble page. We're not playing it here, guys, because it's just too long, and we have other stuff to do. I saw this and I said, "Wow, I'd really love to play that, but dang, that's long." So we're not doing that one, but do go to my social media and look that up, or look it up on Steve Dace's Rumble page. Rumble is fast becoming the place where people can go and post videos and talk about things freely, guys. That's a place to be.
It's the in place, I hear, Dave. It's the in place to go now, bruv.
Yes, it is, my friend. Now, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and do one here. I'm going to do one.
Oh, you can do one,
later, guys. Yeah.
I hope you're not going to pass swim because that's against the law now.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. now, for you Americans.
And also, it causes COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, for our American listeners, guys, when somebody in the UK tells you to do one, that means they're telling you to get out of, you know, to get out of here, you know, to go away. All right. But I'm not going to go away.
You'll go.
Yeah. Exactly. That's another one. Yeah. But, guys, this evil started. The intensification of it. The pushing of these particle infusions disguised as vaccines really intensified and began in the middle week of July. And that's where we have a lot of this stuff from, our shows. And some of these stories are now kind of getting old and dated because new things have come along in regard to them. But it's worth playing the first ones because it'll just show you where this stemmed from. And, Jeff, if there's nothing in the chat, I'm going to go ahead and play this. And, by the way, at some point you may want to call back in because this is a four-minute story, and that should be about bingo time for you. Is there anything out of chat before I start this?
Nothing at the moment, Dave, but I'll wait for a couple of minutes because I think it's only 16 minutes past here, but I'll jump on probably back. I'll do it after you've done that clip, Dave. There you go, bruv.
All right, man. All right. Okay, guys. Now, this one was done on the 13th, and check it out. This is UK stuff. You are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Checkpoint Society, Boris pressures venues to adopt vaccine passports as a matter of social responsibility. By Victoria Friedman on July 13th, 2021. Privacy campaigners have condemned as the makings of a checkpoint society calls by Prime Minister Boris Johnson for large venues to adopt entry by vaccine passport only as a matter of responsibility. Announcing last night that the end of legal restrictions will come on Monday, Prime Minister Johnson nevertheless said that he and the government expect and recommend that people wear a face covering in crowded and enclosed spaces where you come into contact with those you don't normally meet, such as on public transport. Johnson also pressured venues to adopt an NHS-enabled domestic vaccine passport, thus denying service to those without it, saying, "And as a matter of social responsibility, we're urging nightclubs and other venues with large crowds to make use of the NHS COVID pass, which shows proof of vaccination, a recent negative test or natural immunity, as a means of entry." Civil liberties and privacy pressure group Big Brother Watch condemned the Prime Minister calling for vaccine passports, pledging to name, shame, and boycott companies that demand divisive and discriminatory COVID passes. "A checkpoint society will not make us any safer," the group added. The government is also planning to announce compulsory vaccines for care and NHS staff, with Big Brother Watch director Silky Carlo saying on Monday with incredulity, "When I came into civil liberties campaigning, I never thought I'd be facing a snap vote on mandatory vaccinations in this country." Ms. Carlo continued, "We've got the government lying, misdirecting, U-turns on COVID passes, we're now got mandatory vaccinations. The really dangerous thing about this is the government can no longer say, no one is forced to have this vaccine, because there are lots of people who are going to face losing their jobs if they want to decline or delay vaccination." The Prime Minister's push for vaccine passports comes after more than 7 months of mixed government messaging and flip-flops. When the then newly appointed vaccine minister Nadeem Zahawi stated in December that the government was looking at the technology and of course a way of people informing their GP that they've been vaccinated, Cabinet Office Minister Michael Gove was quick to say, "I certainly am not planning to introduce any vaccine passports and I don't know anyone else in government who is." However, Mr. Zahawi had pointed out that even if there were no mandated vaccine passports in law, venues such as stadiums or restaurants may demand them, and want to engage with them the way they did with the NHS app for tracking and tracing outbreaks. The suggestion nudged along further and forcefully by Johnson's recommendation for using COVID passes as a matter of social responsibility. Mr. Gove also went on to head the government review into domestic vaccine passports, with the review confirming this month that the documents may be introduced if there is a rise in cases. It is possible that certification could provide a means of keeping events going and businesses open if the country is facing a difficult situation in autumn or winter, the report said, according to The Times. Therefore, the government will keep the wider application of certification under consideration. There have been successive U-turns in the government since then, notably over whether Britons will need a vaccine passport simply to go to a restaurant or pub. Just last week, it was reported that while the government was reluctant to roll out passes for pints for next week's easing of lockdown, Prime Minister Johnson's administration is looking to roll out vaccine passports for pubs, clubs, and restaurants by the autumn. Conservative MPs and Nigel Farage have warned in recent weeks that even with the end of restrictions this summer, winter is coming and Johnson could impose restrictions on Britons again as early as September.
There you go. And that was as of the middle of last month. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, would you like to call back do you care to comment?
Yeah, no, I've already called back, Dave. I've done what I was going to do in the last couple minutes, so I've done that. So just a comment to say that I don't know whether Johnson is that bright enough. I mean, he's, do you know what? Did you hear his wife is pregnant? I was watching him the other day, and I mean, I had a laugh. I thought, he's made his wife pregnant. He was having... He couldn't get his umbrella up, Dave. So God knows how he got his wife pregnant. I mean, he couldn't even get his brolly to stay up, mate. Unbelievable. But, no, that bojo just being bojo. But you're trying to put a mandatory thing on people having the death injection. Put it this way. There's the Nuremberg, exactly what the Nuremberg trials was all about, giving people, doing things to people without prior thing of being allowed to. That, and of course the human rights issues, because I do not want that, and it goes against my faith, and it goes about a lot of people, their faith and that they don't want it. My body, my choice. And as I say, they're all about, they think they can get away with it. But you're pushing it, and that will be called for. The Nuremberg trials will happen, Bojo, and all you jolly boys out there. And you'll be doing the chicken dance. And all those doctors and all those nurses who went along with your lies and your misconception to the general public, all the time committing genocide on old people. You think this is allowed to be done, especially across the world? Now the world's got its eyes wide open to you lot, you evil ones, the New World Order, the globalists. And we know you, and we will come for you. Back to you, Dave.
Well, great, Jeff. Yeah, so if you've taken care of everything, then it's all good in the hood. And as we know, guys, since that time, since that trial balloon that the Johnson administration threw up in mid-July, there has been some definite pushback. And now, there have been a few people who have gone along with the tyranny and said, oh, yeah, you know, you're going to have to show us that you had the jab and all this other crud. But there have been other people, club owners, pub owners, people like that, who have said, no, forget that. We're not going to discriminate. People want to come in, have a good time. We want them to come in and have a good time. We're not going to require these communistic – we're not going to ask them at the door. There are y'all pay for us. We're not doing that. And, Jeff, now I have to ask. You might know this. I don't particularly. Is the singer Eric Clapton, is he one of your guys? Because I think he is. He might not be, but am I right about that?
Well, I think so. I think so. He's against doing it where anybody's inoculated or not inoculated. So he's refusing to do venues because of its calling for these things to be put upon people. He believes he's a bit of a libertarian, I think, Dan. Let's call him what he probably is. And he believes in people having choices to do what they want. So I do believe that he's on the right side of history. Not the right side or whatever what they want. The leftists might be thinking out there, he's just being a common sensor, that he doesn't want to do venues where people got restrictions on them. And do you know what? That's a good man, Dave. That is a good man. That's you, bro.
Well, you're right. You're right. And that was exactly why I was going to bring him up, because he will not, Eric Clapton will not do a concert at a venue that requires proof of having the Wuhan virus infusions, which, as Jeff said, basically, I mirror everything that Jeff has had to say on this. We don't know his politics, and we don't care in this instance. He's acting like a common sensor, as Jeff says, and I like that, and I think everyone else should like that. There's no reason to create an underclass, which the left is trying to do on both sides of the pond hard. There's no reason to create an underclass just to keep on with the lie that that the left has been telling ever since all of this began early last year. And as we know now, Jeff, of course, it really began late in the year 2019. But, of course, we didn't know at the time. Jeff, is there anything out of chat before?
Go on, Dave.
Please.
Sorry, mate.
No, I was just going to ask you if there's anything out of chat before we move on to Macron.
We have. I've got Bigfoot has made his comment. He says, creepy, crawling Boris the Spider. I think that sums it up. I think he does his hair with a balloon. You know a balloon? If you rub a balloon against your hair, your hair stands up. I think that's what he does every day. anyway, we've got a new guy in the chat, or lady in the chat, called Daylene Hughes, right, and saying, hello all, there's another comment, EC Slow Hands is one, in my opinion, who has crossroads. I don't quite understand that, Daylene Hughes, but Dave might. But there you go, Dave, that's a new new chatter in the chat room, Dave, saying hello on that comment. Back to you, mate.
Yeah, welcome, Daylene. Yeah, my favorite Clapton song has always been Cocaine, and part of that is because there was a time when I was doing drugs myself, and it's a great message about drugs in general, which is that some people would look at it and they'd say, "Well, yeah, he's promoting the use of drugs," and actually, he's not. It's actually a message that kind of says, "Yeah, don't do this stuff. Don't get trapped in it." So, yeah, I mean, I kind of think the guy had a lot of sense for a lot of years. So, but welcome to the chat. And Jeff, you mentioned the Macron. Now, guys, for those of you who don't understand why I call him the Macron. There's a couple of computer games, Quake 2, all the way to Quake 4, where the big evil boss is called the Macron. I kid you not, the name is spelled exactly the same way. and that's why there's a picture of the Macron in our show page. it's the Macron, just saying, show me your papers, slaves. That's because that's what this guy has. I mean, this guy has gone 100% totally Nazi. But we wanted to play for you guys this 3.5-minute beginning to this, which was put out on the 13th of July. And this will give you just an idea of what the Macrons started over in France, and we have more after that. So, guys, check this out. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Macron, vaccine passports will be mandatory for restaurants, bars, transport in France. By Kurt Zindelka on July 13, 2021. Vaccine passports for bars, restaurants, and public transport will become mandatory in France starting next month, President Emmanuel Macron announced in a national address on Monday evening. Mr. Macron said that it will be necessary to curtail the freedoms of the unvaccinated in France to supposedly slow the spread of the so-called Delta, Indian, variant of the Chinese coronavirus. Our choice is simple, to put the restrictions on the unvaccinated rather than on all. This is the meaning of the health pass that will be extended, the French president announced. The draconian restrictions will mean that citizens of France will either have to scan in via QR code or present a document proving that they have either been fully vaccinated or have recovered from the Wuhan virus to enter businesses such as restaurants, bars, cinemas, theaters, and shopping centers, as well as to use public transport by early August. Depending on the evolution of the situation, we will ask ourselves the question of the extension of the health pass to other activities, Macron added. Starting from July 21, anyone over the age of 12 in France will have to present a health pass to attend concerts, festivals, shows, or to enter amusement parks. Mr. Macron has also announced that starting on September 15, healthcare workers and volunteers at care homes will be required to be vaccinated. He said that vaccination is a matter of individual responsibility, but also a matter of our freedom. Clarifying the position, French Health Minister Olivier Véran said that those healthcare workers who failed to get vaccinated by the September deadline will no longer be able to work and will no longer be paid. Macron, faites-vous vacciner, get vaccinated. Alongside the other measures, curfews have been reinstated in the French territories of Martinique and Réunion Island. The scare tactics of the speech may have achieved the government's goal of increasing vaccinations, as the French online vaccination portal DrLib.fr crashed as a result of increased search traffic following Macron's speech. The announcement from Macron came as British Prime Minister Boris Johnson was announcing that all legal lockdown restrictions would be lifted in England starting from next week. In France, approximately 40% of the adult population has been fully vaccinated against the coronavirus, with 53.1% having had at least one jab. This is compared to around 60% in the UK who have had two jabs and 87% having had at least one dose of the vaccine. While the UK and the US have been pushing towards loosening restrictions, countries across the European continent have been increasingly implementing draconian health state regulations in order to force people into taking the vaccine. In Greece, for example, the government announced last month that it would allow businesses to open fully as long as they only cater to people who have been vaccinated. The discriminatory practice may extend to Italy, where the government is reportedly considering Chinese social credit-style restrictions on travel, forcing trains to give preferential treatment to the vaccinated. The socialist government of Spain has also announced that it would be reimposing curfews in Catalonia and Valencia amid rising cases among younger people. Follow Kurt Zindelka on Twitter here at Kurt Zindelka.
And welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show, Joseph Spider Mitchell. Jeff, go ahead.
Thank you, Doc. Yeah, well, Macron isn't very, put it this way, I would say he's hated very much by the protests and that. People really despise this man with a vigor. I've never known anybody, I've seen before, but I've never known it to be, you know, so anti-Macron than what I see over the last year or so. We have seen, I mean, they've had lots of demos turning really nasty, and we've seen it. Dave, we've watched, haven't we, some of it unfold, and the French are not stopping. I mean, it's one thing you say about them is they don't give up without a fight, and they will keep fighting until he's gone. There's no doubt about it. But that's the way it is. He's evil. He's all a part of it. He's a Satanist, ladies and gentlemen. You all know it. Most of them are. That's in power. Lucifer is Satanist. You call them what they are. They're all evil. And you know what? Do they care about you? They care about your family? No, they don't. They only care. They don't care if you live or die. They're all the same. I've got to say it the way it is because that's the truth. Do not ever think that these governments are working on our behalf, because they're not. They've got their own agenda, and they've got big, powerful strings at the top that's pulling their strings anyway. But anyway, it's a great convo going on between Bigfoot and Daily News. let me comment on what's last comment I saw was Daly's was paid for his success with Tragedy. Didn't quite get that. Bigfoot goes on to say, Crossroads is a Robert Johnson song that Cream covered with Clapton on lead vocals. And Daly's made a comment back saying, sorry guys, paid his soul with the devil. And he goes on to say, Daly's goes on to say, hey, big AKA boy, also a bit of some good news. I for the vaccinated. F me. It's just the way he's done it. It's just quite funny. So back to you, Dave. I love it when there's a bit of a convo between our great guests there, Dave. Don't you love it?
Absolutely. And again, you guys have instructions on how to get into the chat at the start of this show. And, of course, this show and all the others are archived at blogtalkradio.com. And you guys can go back, find those, listen to those, share those, especially the ones that we've been doing now, because they're so relevant to what's going on now. We know, yes, Jeff, that, the Macron tried to tack a prison sentence onto this, onto his policies. And that sparked off demonstrations that were that rivaled the yellow vest demonstrations that you were talking about, that you were referring to. So he backed down on that, but France is still going hard on basically trying to make this particle infusion the mark of the beast. In other words, you can't participate in society unless you have it. So that should just show you who Macron is. He may not be the Antichrist, but he's one of the heads of the beast, in my opinion. Now, guys, we're going to move on.
The minion of the beast, Dave? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's possible. Now, we're going to move on, guys. This one may wind up being our final.
Make one comment, Dave. There was a demonstration. I don't want to break your flow. I just want to let you know that in the demonstration, they managed to break into somewhere and smashed his portrait up. How about that, Dave? They smashed his portrait. They jumped all over it. So I just want to make that comment to our listeners out there. They don't like him. I said they don't like him. Back to you, Dave.
Well, you know what, Jeff? That's appropriate. And, now we'll see whether or not. I'm sure that France uses some of the same Dominion or Dominion-esque voting computers that have been used in many other countries. So we'll see what happens the next time they have an election. Wouldn't surprise me if the Macron won, especially through cheating. But we're going to move on now to another one here. You know that last story, Jeff, and listeners, that talked about what Greece was doing, requiring similar policies to those going on in France. Well, Greece is actually stepping up, because there are people in government and health services all over the world that don't want to take these particle infusions. They don't want to put on these manacles and basically become slaves. And that has created a result. Now, guys, this here is 2.5 minutes long. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Greece to discipline government employees who don't take vaccination. By Chris Tomlinson on July 16, 2021. Greek Interior Minister Makis Voridis has announced that civil servants who refuse to take the now mandatory Wuhan coronavirus vaccine will be disciplined. Minister Voridis stated on Thursday that civil servants would be referred to a disciplinary board if they refuse to take the vaccine. The disciplinary council would then decide if the employee would be fired. Under current law, there is a legal obligation and, in some professions, employers and employees are required to meet certain health requirements. The employer has a responsibility, Mr. Borides said, the newspaper Icopy Marini reports. When vaccination becomes mandatory, those who do not comply with the obligation enter into a process in which they have violated their legal obligations. He added and stated, or anyone who refuses to comply with their contractual obligations, the disciplinary procedure will be activated. Greece's move to make vaccinations mandatory for certain jobs comes as French President Emmanuel Macron also announced that those working in certain fields, such as caregivers or firefighters, will be mandated to take the Wuhan coronavirus vaccine as well. During a television address to the French nation, Macron justified the move saying that vaccination was a matter of individual responsibility, but also a matter of our freedom. French Health Minister Olivier Véran added that those workers who refuse to take the mandatory vaccine will no longer be able to work and will no longer be paid. The United Kingdom has just made vaccines mandatory for care home staff, promoting some to warn of an impending human rights and civil liberty struggle. Greece, like France, has also announced recent measures to encourage more people, particularly younger people, to take the vaccine. One scheme, the Freedom Pass, is a prepaid card of €150, £129/$178, is offered to anyone between the ages of 18 and 25 to try and boost vaccination numbers. This is a debt to our youth, a gift of gratitude, particularly ahead of the summer. It is a thank you for their patience and perseverance, Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis said as he announced the scheme last month. Follow Chris Tomlinson on Twitter at @TomlinsonCJ or email at tomlinson@breitbart.com.
And welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with the host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that before COVID come along, that they'd all these, maybe what you call them, the GA, whoever, had already had a plan for something that will come along, out of blue, we've come from China, that they would set something up that, you know, everybody would have to have the mark or the Wuhan vaccination, right? It's quite obvious that this was planned long before, you know, the Wuhan flu come along. They'd already had it sorted out and had been talked about for quite a while. This is what the globalists are all about. So, you know, we mustn't be under any illusion that, oh, it's just come out from... No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. And anybody who thinks that it just come out, just come along like that, where have you been living? These people plan these things. They are quite smart. The Satanists and Luciferians, they're very smart. But there's some of us who see through their bullshit and we know exactly what's going on. That's why myself and Dave, we sit here week in, week out, just to share. We go in between their bullshit and tell you the real truth. That's what they don't like. Ourselves, people like Tommy Robinson, many others. And look the way that they try to persecute us. They try to chase us down. And, you know, this is it. It's open warfare on us, the righteous people, the people who tell the truth. But you know what? In the end, we will win. Yes, it'll be a hard battle, but Dave's like me, we believe it. There's no ifs, no buts. We will prevail over these evil ones. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. Dave, back to you, brother.
Yeah, and well, you're absolutely right. And Macron talking about freedom. Macron would not know freedom if it jumped up and bit him on the arse. I mean, all he's trying to do is pervert the very concepts of freedom. This shows in his own countrymen's disapproval of him. But Jeff, I saw this story about the Greek government disciplining their employees who don't want to take the particle infusions, you know, and they'll discipline this, discipline that. And that made me think of this little 21-second thing from the movie Yellowbeard. Check it out.
My name is Captain Hughes. These are my officers, Lieutenant Martin, who's responsible for discipline. Lieutenant Crisp, who's responsible for discipline. Mr. Prostitute, who is responsible for... Nail that man's foot to the deck. Discipline.
That's all right.
Dave, what do you like? Oh, that was funny. I'm sorry, mate. I'm laughing all through. Oh, thank you. That we need that. That we need a bit of lightheartedness and to give us all a bit of a laugh, you know, in these dark times. Cheers, buddy. I've got a couple of comments coming out of the chat room. Anyway, just wanted to clarify, sorry. Daily News, I think that's what it means. His real name is Boy, and he just changed his handle to come into the chat. It's all good, mate. And that's what he says. Right, our boy, using a different handle, gents. That's all good, bro. He goes on to say, somebody working, getting the comments kinks out. That's all good. It also goes on to say, well, all these incentives to take the jab for flu virus just as deadly for some. Good point. Dave, would you... yeah, anybody wants to pay you money to have a jab? Come on. There's something stinks, doesn't it? Oh, come on, I'll give you $100 or I'll give you £100 if you take your jab. Come on, it ain't going to hurt you. It'll kill you, but it won't hurt you. Yeah, right. Don't you... Can't you... Hang on, can you smell it, Dave? Yeah, that's definitely bullshit. Oh, it's a strong smell as well. Back to you, Dave.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jeff. And I mean, look. If you look at it from a purely secular standpoint, the science doesn't stand up for taking these particle infusions. And we talked about that a bit in a previous show. I know what the nanoparticles are that this drug is infused into, and I also know what the drug itself is. And scientifically speaking, just those and the fact that this was rushed out are reason enough for people not to choose to do this. And if you think about it also, these taking this infusion is very much like willingly putting on a set of manacles. So because you become a slave to the government at that point. And I think we've all had enough of slavery. It still exists in some countries, but it should never exist in any country. We should be fighting to end it, not to spread it through, even if the safety hoax is being used as an excuse. And that brings along something that, Jeff, you talked about this. And I wanted to bring this little minute and a half conversation into the show. We've been using science fiction, the predictive thought and processes of science fiction, to point out the fact that people like George Orwell and Ray Bradbury and so many others predicted that certain societal things like this would come up. And That has also been done by the writers of some TV shows, including one called Babylon 5. Now, guys, I'm going to play this one for you. This is a conversation between a female, quote-unquote, political officer, which has been assigned to the station commander on this show, and the commander himself. Listen to what she says, or what she said in around 1995, and contrast that with what's being said now. Eagle guys, you're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
We have had some problems with the lurkers, but nothing...
Lurkers?
It's our version of the homeless. In many ways, we have the same problem Earth does.
Earth doesn't have homeless.
Excuse me?
We don't have the problem. Yes, there are some displaced people here and there. But they've chosen to be in that position. They're either lazy or they're criminal or they're mentally unstable.
They can't get a job.
EarthGov has promised a job to anyone that wants one. So, if someone doesn't have a job, they must not want one.
Poverty?
Mm, it's the same.
Crime?
Yes, there is some, but it's all caused by the mentally unstable. And we've just instituted correctional centers to filter them out at an early age.
Prejudice?
Hmm? No, we're just one happy planet.
And when exactly did all this happen?
When we rewrote the dictionary. Captain, you're a good man. You're a fine soldier, a leader. You understand that sometimes, before you can deal with a problem, you have to redefine it.
You can't deal with the problems by pretending they don't exist.
There's no need to embarrass our leaders by pointing out the flaws in our society that they're aware of and dealing with in their own way. Some people just enjoy finding fault with our leaders. They're anarchists. They're troublemakers. Or they're simply just unpatriotic.
Any of that sound familiar? Welcome back to the English Specialties Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. Jeff, any of that sound familiar to you, brother?
Well, it sounds like the politicians based all their politics on Babylon 5, by the sounds of it, Dave. They was following that, probably addicted to it. Look where we are. Thank you, Babylon 5. You've created monsters. Back to you, Dave.
Well, I think what Joe Straczynski, who wrote the show, was trying to do was to warn people against a society that would rise up and do that to its own people. And if you look at the schools on both sides of the pond, and in many countries around the world with people who listen to us, these have become less about learning reading, writing, and arithmetic and science, and more about indoctrination into whatever the latest government-mandated thinking is. This is 1984 in the Orwellian sense, in that school children are taught newspeak, not regular language, just the newspeak. Everything is double plus good or double plus ungood. And as far as policy goes, whenever governments want to enrich the political class and the few extremely powerful people, Jeff, that you mentioned that are behind these governments, well, they just take words and situations and everything and just redefine them in the very media that they control. I think that's what Orwell warned against. I think that's what Joe Straczynski was warning against. And Jeff, if you have any more comments or anything else out of the chat, I'm going to be ready to do my final.
Yeah,
man.
No, I think basically I listened to that and I thought, my goodness me, politicians seem like that they've been following Babylon 5 and definitely copying things that they said, or they took different words out of there and used it. Because it, my goodness me, when you listen back, and that was 1995, so that was many years ago, but it just goes to show you that some of these politicians might look down the path of science fiction, bring it to science fact, and maybe that's what we got. I just wanted to clarify, so now we've got the guy in here called Daily News, right? Now, I understand now that Daily News is Bring It On Boys' wife. So there you go. So, and I've got names. I won't read your names, that just, but you know what? Bigfoot knows you. And if Bigfoot knows you, your friends are bad. And we love having you here, both you, Mr. Daily News, and your dear wife. Thank you guys for being there. She did make a comment saying, holy cow, well, yikes. That's quite funny. Also, goes on to say, Daily News, in the movie, they live all, what's this, just bear with me, they all live JPBS, where union and people who didn't want to work for union were living in tent cities.
So there you go. And she goes, yes. So there you go. So that has jumped out at some of our great guests we got here today, how much alike. So, you know, by the comment, we've often said that we look at facts and science fiction and how science facts come out of it, and basically it does seem that way a little bit, maybe, you know. Back to you, Dave. I just wanted to clarify you with a couple of things there, bruv.
Well, excellent. I want to welcome the lady to the chat as well. Really like to see that. And you go along with the state, you get rewards, you get the carrot, and you don't go along with the state, you get the stick. And we're seeing this more and more now on both sides of the pond, around the world, places like that. And I just want to say that it is perfectly fine to, even on a secular level, let's not even talk about the religious aspect of it, which the religious aspect of it is basically the mark of the beast. And I can say that no $100 check is worth my immortal soul. They're going to have to actually come here, drag me out of this place, hold me down, and inject me with that stuff before I'll take it. I will never willingly take the thing. But now is time for the end of the show. I'll tell you this, guys, we've got more to come next week, and we hope you'll join us, and we hope you'll share this show out. And I'm going to go ahead now with my finals. Please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My normal show times are 1 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern in the United States. That's 5 p.m. in the U.K., and I put out new shows, or new-to-you shows, at midnight on Saturday Eastern in the United States, and that is 5 a.m. on Saturday in the U.K. I'm also available through SHR Media and the Western Free Radio Network. I've been listening about government so much.
I'm glad you didn't fart, Dave, because that's against the law.
Well, they'll cover burping next, but I've been listening to stuff about the government so long that, you know, it made me full of gas, which is just kind of the transference there. But you guys have heard
it. It does,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen. Dave's right.
I've told you guys where you can get hold of me on social media for all the information that I've talked about, the Steve Dace numbers proving that, no, it's not all people on the right who are against these particle infusions, and also the full Tommy Robinson interview. All that stuff is available on my social media, and I told you guys what all that stuff was at the start of the show, so you can go back and listen to that and find that. So, and Jeff, I just want to say, tremendous show, tremendous tonight on your part, excellently well done. And I want to say, I will be done speaking after this, Jeff, I want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, all the truth tellers out there, all the people who are resisting putting on the manacles of this particle infusion, disguising itself as a vaccine, be prosperous, be vigilant, be blessed, and no surrender ever. Jeff, back
great,
to you. Take
great.
Us home, my friend.
I love that, Dave. I just want to let you know that Daily News Boise have both said thank you. Great show. Also going to say anything more than humbred is bad. Tesky, the jab, you might not be around to see it. And also goes on to say great show, gents. Thank you very much. We really do appreciate your comments, and we appreciate you all being here tonight. So tune in, Bigfoot, and of course Daily News or Big Boise, and your dear wife. Thank you guys for being here. Hope you're here next Sunday. You know, it'd be no different this tonight, but maybe there'd be more information about different things, but we do our best to give you a great show. So pleased to see you here this evening. So, so we'll be back again next Sunday. I've got to admit, guys, I've enjoyed doing the show tonight. And some great comments. It's always great to see comments. And you know, bit of chat going on in the chat room. goes on and say, Niall, we're not worthy, laugh out loud, and you're definitely worthy, we love you all. Thank you, guys. And so, I'm going to say, we're going to be back next week. Please come and join us again, because I love having you here with us, sharing the show and things that's going on. So all I'm going to say is that I've got some gentlemen who stand in the corner behaving themselves tonight. They keep flicking peanuts at me, but that's beside the point. Anyway, I'm going to pass them on. You ready to go? Yeah, they give me the nod. They're ready. So with that, without further ado, let me bring on the jam with our closing down show against you. Going underground. Okay, they're ready. Take it away, boys.
Good night, Jeff. Good night, everybody in the chat.
Good night, cheers,
for my say, my life
is
a people might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, than the mine. But you
realize
that it's for Tommy's friends, and the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing to say to the dust. I'm going underground. What is the prospect for you? That's the path going underground. What is the voice of single? Let the voice of shout for tomorrow. You might get some pleasure as a hate. I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
And I will see you next week. And don't keep flicking them bloody peanuts at me. Oh, well, I mean, what they like, though. Anyway, all I've got to say is thank you all very much for listening to the show this evening. Wherever you are, whatever part of the world you are, I hope you've enjoyed the show. As I say, we will bring you more. This will be part four, I think it'll be part four, won't it, Dad, next week? So there you go. We've got more next week for you. So we do plan ahead. So all I've got to say is this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight. We'll see you again next week. You stay safe. God bless you all. And let's not forget, no surrender ever. Good night, all.